Go talk to the geniuses that are online.
The week after the Super Bowl, it's time to Belichick your premises. And if you know anyone who could use their premises Belichicked, send them our way. Joining me from our nation's capital, I don't know, do I say that on this show? I don't even know anymore. I'm so disoriented right now. Daniel T. Richards. And I have to ask you, Daniel, because everyone probably wants to know, how are you feeling?
That was the number one question at my job on Monday, which prompted me to do something I don't typically do, which is write a social media post about my feelings. I try to avoid that at all costs, but I felt like I had to answer, which is the answer is, and in fact, not just how you're feeling, but they asked me, like, are you devastated? Do you feel devastated? Like, devastated? I don't feel fucking devastated. Damn it. One. Okay. I'm trying not to swear. So I'm feeling fine. Like, yeah, the game did not end the way I wanted it to. I thought the Patriots were going to win. We were right, by the way, that the scoreboard was lit up, just not quite in the exact order we would have preferred.
We were right that there would be no defense. We were right.
Yes, that part we got right. The outcome, not so much. So I'll just say this is my sort of overall statement, which is I'm incredibly grateful to the Patriots organization, to Tom Brady, to Bill Belichick, for always putting on an incredible display of talent, an incredible display of greatness. And I am indebted to them for what they do every single year to inspire people and to show that the pursuit of greatness is a very important and a worthy cause. And it doesn't always end up the way you want it to. And if it did, it wouldn't be enjoyable. If there was no chance the Patriots could lose, it would not be an enjoyable experience overall. So I don't want to let this loss make me feel worse about the season overall. I really thoroughly enjoyed the season, the story, the overcoming the early season disasters.
And saving them for the Super Bowl.
That's right. So I feel fine.
I agree with you. I was wondering where your PR statement came from, though, on Facebook. I was like, what the fuck? Why is he doing PR on Facebook right now?
Because I got all these text messages like, oh, I'm so sorry. You must be hurting. Hurting? I'm fine. I mean, Tom Brady didn't get his knee blown out, and it wasn't total domination by the Eagles. Like, they played a good game. Tom Brady, we'll get into this so much, but Tom Brady broke a Super Bowl record for yards thrown. Like, how much more can I ask of one of my heroes than that? So I'm fine. It sucks, but I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah. Oh, see, I was wondering if you were going to ask me that.
Yeah.
So the first thing is I want to say about your post. It pisses me off that people did the laughing emoji reaction to your post.
Yeah.
I think that's super rude. Like they're acting like your reaction isn't serious or something. Anyone who knows you knows that that's your reaction. Like, I was like, yeah, that's his reaction. And I think if you look at my Facebook post, it shows the opposite reaction that I had of yours. And I think it encapsulates this show. Because my reaction was just, you can't give up 41 points and win the Super Bowl. Congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
That's my reaction to Super Bowl. I would like to say officially for this show that my reaction is more Belichickian than yours.
I never claimed to be Bill Belichick. That's for sure.
I would just like to say that I am now more and more embodying the spirit of Bill Belichick. Like, that's how I feel. I haven't looked at like anything because I just don't want to deal with the negativity, and I don't want to deal with like the conversation around it, which is like the rationalization from Patriots fans as to why we lost and the pissing on our ashes of Philadelphia fans, or not even Philadelphia fans, just like any fans who hates the Patriots, just like pissing on our ashes. I don't want to deal with it. because my overall emotion, if I had to sum it up, is disappointed. I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed I didn't get the outcome I wanted, and I'm disappointed that the team didn't play as well as I know they can play. And it's all summed up in the one play that ultimately decided the game. Is I'm disappointed that Shaq Mason couldn't block that guy. I can't even remember the guy's name because all I can think about is Shaq Mason.
All I remember, I don't remember his name either. All I remember is that he was a fellow Wolverine. That was the story of that. So.
Well, yeah, and we had the Gamecocks going against each other. As a Clemson fan, when they showed Gilmore versus Jeffrey early on and they were roommates at South Carolina, like, I died a little bit on the inside as a Clemson fan. But, I mean, those are kind of neat little, like, human stories they have in there. But,
sure.
You know, I had a similar thing where people were, like, they were, like, really worried I was going to react negatively. That's what I just said to all of them. And I think people were surprised that I wasn't, like, angry or sad or anything. Like, I think I've been handling this pretty well because they would come at me and they'd be like, so that Super Bowl. And I'd just be like, yeah, you can't give up 41 points and win the game. What do you want? What do you expect? And it's like people were, like, surprised I wasn't more upset. And I think that's for a couple of reasons. We talked about 18-1 last week. Once you lose that game, and then, of course, it's followed up with the second Giants loss. Once you lose those two Super Bowls, it's kind of like no other Super Bowl loss. No other loss can really affect you in the same way.
Yeah.
And I forgot what the second thing I was going to say was. I said there were two things, and I can only remember that one.
Alas. So let's talk about the game a little bit before we talk into the sort of cultural reaction to the game. So what can the Patriots hang their hat on and say, this is good, and moving forward, this is a good sign for us as a team?
The fact that Dont'a Hightower is coming back, so they'll actually have like a middle of the defense.
Good.
No, I mean, on the defensive side, Gilmore played well. I thought in the second half when they put him on Jeffrey, Harrison looked good. If he wants to come back, I think he's worth re-signing. Malcolm Brown, when he wasn't missing tackles, was making good tackles. I mean, he missed some in the first quarter. So I think there's hope in the defense once it gets more cohesive.
Trey Flowers.
But I think mainly...
Sorry.
Yeah, Trey Flowers. Yeah, all of them. All of them had moments where they looked good. And you know, to their credit, in the second half, I think they were making enough plays to put Brady in a position to win. I think that's ultimately what cost them the season. Because I think they got used to just... This is what I was saying all season, right? They were in this mode of, well, we're just going to come back and win because that's what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I called it like heroin or crack for them, where it was like, oh man, we can't really play unless it's serious. And I think the defense felt that way, that they felt like they only had to do enough to get Brady to win. And in the second half, when Brady was lighting it up, they were doing enough for Brady to win. They put them in a position, right? Brady got the ball with 2:15 left, down by five. He very well could have won the game with that. You could have seen how they would have scored with little time left on the clock for the Eagles to come back, because Brady was tearing up the Eagles defense in the second half.
Yes.
And really, when you say what can they hang their hat on, Gronk over 100 yards and two touchdowns, Amendola over 100 yards, Chris Hogan over 100 yards, and this is after Brandon Cooks went out with his bell rung.
Yeah.
Brady over 500 yards and three touchdowns. The offense still looked phenomenal, and Brady's 40 years old and he did that in the Super Bowl. No one's going to tell me that he's just going to drop off a cliff next year. Even if he's not as good, he's still going to be an average quarterback. And with all those weapons around and with Hightower coming back, I think they have a lot to look forward to.
Agreed. Unless something serious happens in the offseason, there's no
indication. Like Belichick retiring.
We'll get to that in a moment. There's nothing that indicates to me that Tom Brady won't perform at this high level next year, especially after watching the documentary and how he treats himself and how he prepares, etc. There's nothing to indicate that that's going to fall off a cliff. And I don't respond to tweets. People, fans of this show or fans of the main show, Welcome to the Midside, will note that I don't typically respond to tweets. I'm horrible at it. I do it all day for my job, and thus...
You replied to Drew.
I did. It's very rare, though. It's super rare. So, because I do it all day for my job, I don't want to do it at home, but, and in particular, by the way, what I'm saying is I don't respond to, like, random tweets. Like, I'm not one of those people who will just read a tweet and then go respond to it. I responded to several, and they were all the exact same tweet from different people, which is, oh, I guess it's time for Tom Brady to retire. did we watch the same game? What were they? What could they possibly have been tuning into that they could think that it was time for Tom? 505 yards and 3 touchdowns. You can't ask more from any quarterback than that, let alone a 40-year-old quarterback. That's an insane performance.
And that's a similar part of the reason I've been like disconnected and not wanting to hear anything and not wanting to read anything is because immediately when I signed on to Twitter after the game, the first tweet I saw was, oh, I just want to mention that Joe Montana was never 5-3 in Super Bowls. Well, yeah, because Joe Montana didn't make 8 Super Bowls. Like, the idea that somehow this hurts Brady's legacy is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. So Tom Brady is worse because his defense didn't show up to the Super Bowl.
Right. That's total, total, total nonsense. It is the worst kind of spin. It's completely irrational, nonsense spin.
And Ken, if we're talking about quarterbacks in the offseason and performance, can I just say that I feel bad for Nick Foles? Because they're going to have to trade him, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, you win the Super Bowl for a city, and then you get traded? You win the Super Bowl MVP. You throw 4 touchdowns and, what, 350 yards?
Yeah.
And you get traded? Like, what more do you have to do?
And it wasn't even like, there's not even a controversy, right? Peterson came out in his post-game press conference and said, yeah, hopefully we'll get back here next year with Wentz. Which is kind of why I like Doug Peterson, by the way.
No, I like him. He called a good game. He was aggressive. Like, Doug Peterson has my respect. It's just, I feel bad for Nick. Like, he won the Super Bowl. He beat us, and I should not feel bad for him. But I do.
He's going to go be a preacher, right? Isn't that what he wants to do? So, how different...
No, he's going to get millions of dollars. He's the new Joe Flacco. He's going to get millions of dollars and never sniff the playoffs again.
Maybe he'll go to the Broncos. Wouldn't that suck? Side note, how different is the Eagles team from Philly fans? Like, the Eagles team are a bunch of God-fearing good boys who pray at everything and give praise to God, and Nick Foles is like a preacher, and the Philadelphia fans are literally burning their city to the ground. So, and eating horse manure. Did you see that video? That was fun.
The Philadelphia fans are the devil, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. So,
excluding, I want to be clear, Midsider Kevin is very nice. I want to be clear about that. And also, one of our Patreon supporters, I believe Midsider Mark, messaged us pregame and wished us luck and proved how rational he was. So there are rational Philly fans out there. The rest of you fucking assholes, stop representing them. Of course, who am I to talk? Fucking New England fans, I'm sure they've been so obnoxious over the last 2 days. Namely, like, let's blame Belichick for this loss.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck you.
I have seen that narrative. The Boston Globe, I think, ran a piece basically asking if it was time to question the hoodie. Basically saying that the decision to bench Malcolm Butler for the Super Bowl may have led to the loss. I think it's hard to draw a straight line there. But my question for you, Justin, and there's a lot of controversy about why Butler was benched, whether it was due to illness or missing practice, or missing curfew. Butler says it wasn't that. He's never missed curfew. But let's kind of forget the reason for the timing. Let's say it was even a semi-rational reason. The question I have for you is, even if it was the right football decision, technical football decision, is it possible that that benching affected the morale of the defense in such a way that they underperformed?
It's tough to say for one major reason. If you are a professional making millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, I don't know all their salary variants, to play this game, if somebody throws a curveball at you like that, you should be able to handle it in an ideal world. Now, is that how the human psychology works? I don't know, because Butler played like, what, 97% of the snaps over the previous season?
Yeah.
So if you get used to playing with someone, but at the same time, if there's a position to replace, right? It's not like, we're not talking the first Giants Super Bowl 18-1 where Stephen Neal goes down in the first drive and he's the best offensive lineman, and now the whole offensive line is out of sorts, and that's why they can get all that pressure on him all of a sudden. All right, we're not talking that. We're talking about a guy who's really basically left one-on-one most of the time, and sometimes they play zone. I think if there's a position to replace like that, it is corner. I think that's where you're going to see the least, or maybe wide receiver, right? This is why we saw it with Welker got benched back in the day. I also think you have to look at it from a long-term standpoint. I don't think Belichick ever, even in the Super Bowl, plays it one game. And what I mean by that is he says one game at a time, but he has to balance being a GM and team building is saying we're only going to accept certain types of character. And I'm assuming if he's doing something like this, knowing the problems we had with Butler last season, there might have been things that came up that he said, I have to show these people what it's going to be going forward as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's very short-sighted to look at this one thing, especially look at what went wrong. Like, did Ryan Allen fuck up the holds because Malcolm Butler wasn't in the game? Right?
Did Shaq Mason miss that block because Butler wasn't in the game? Yeah.
Right, did he, like, lock eyes with Butler before the snap, and suddenly his tears welled up and Brady snapped it and he forgot to block? Like, yeah. Is that what happened? No, the entire team, Sans, Brady, and the pass catchers, didn't play well. And to be fair, the offensive line played well except for that one play. And that's the other thing, too, about this. One play in the Super Bowl can make that decision, like that. Can decide the game.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. We heard about the vaunted Eagles defensive line all 2 weeks. They were doing the same thing as the Giants. They didn't do shit despite what Chris Collinsworth was trying to say in the first half. They didn't do shit. Brady tore up the defense because no pressure was getting on him. And then there's one sack and it's a fumble and that decides the game. That's how it works.
Yeah, I did think, if there's something to criticize, and which I think is what we're getting into next, for the most part, I thought the coaching on both teams was excellent. I thought Doug Peterson made a lot of calls on fourth down, which coaches typically don't make in the NFL, but statistics say you should make, like fourth and short or fourth and goal, you should go for it, statistically speaking, which is why Belichick has had some success doing those kind of things. But I thought, I don't know what you think of this, I thought the play calling in the first half was too cutesy. They were trying to do too many new things as opposed to just doing things they're good at. And I understand wanting to throw things at a defense that they've never seen before. That is an important element, but I think you sprinkle those in. And in the first half, it seemed like they were trying to do too much of that, and it just wasn't working. And when they came out in that second half drive and the play calling was throw the ball at Gronkowski, I just thought that was such a better strategy of the best quarterback in history and perhaps, if not even arguably so, the best tight end in history. Just throw the ball at Gronkowski and let him catch it. And aside from the very first pass, he did, and he dominated. So what do you think about the play calling in the game?
I've always had a problem with McDaniels, and the problem I have is that when he and Brady get frustrated, and we saw this against the Jacksonville Jaguars as well, we saw it in the second half with the Deion Lewis fumble, and that's why I thought they were going to lose the game, because I was like, they've gone deep into their playbook now, and now that they've gone deep into their playbook, they have nothing else, they don't know what to do. And we saw it against the Ravens with the double pass back in the divisional round years ago, right, where Edelman did the touchdown pass to Amendola. What happens is McDaniels and Brady, when Brady gets frustrated, McDaniels gets frustrated, and then they're just like, fuck it. We're going to do these absurd plays that are in our playbook and see if they work, because nothing else is working.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And I have a little fantasy in my head where at halftime, Belichick walks up and slaps McDaniels in the back of the head and go, hey, we have Gronk.
I do like to think that the entire halftime pep talk was simply Bill Belichick walking into a silent locker room and going, Gronk is still on the team, right? He's still here. He's playing.
Okay. Hey, Gronk, you're at a concussion protocol, right? Just want to be clear that you were cleared.
And then he just walks out. So,
because he certainly didn't tell Patricia anything at halftime.
Right. Indeed. So speaking of McDaniels, it was reported this morning that he was named the next head coach of the Colts, and even the Colts tweeted out all the links to watch the live stream press conference of his official announcement. And then while we were doing 10 minutes of show prep earlier today, it was reported that Josh McDaniels is not accepting the Colts coaching job, that he is staying in New England as the offensive coordinator. So before I share any more information with you, Justin, what's your reaction to that?
Thank God. I mean, I just don't understand why, even as Patricia, right? You have Tom Brady as your quarterback. Why would you leave before Tom Brady retires? I just don't understand it. Like, are you going to get that much worse? I mean, Patricia, are you going to get that much worse as a team with Hightower coming back, that with Gilmore coming back, we signed Gilmore for a multi-year contract? Are you going to get that much worse that your stock's going to drop before Brady retires? I just wouldn't leave. So the fact that McDaniels is coming back, I have to think that he knows when Brady's going to retire now. I have to think he had a conversation with Brady, the same conversation I imagine Brady's going to have with Gronk. And it's just saying, hey, we got something good going here. I'm only going to play for 4 more years max. And even 45, I think that's a generous, generous goal on Brady's part. I'm only going to play for 4 more years max. Why would you leave? We got a good thing going. Let's just stick it together till the end. And then, you know, you can take over for Belichick. And that's when Belichick will retire too. And then, of course, there's the other reaction, which is we know there's that rumored come-to-Jesus meeting Kraft, Belichick, and Brady are going to have.
Yeah.
And maybe McDaniels heard a rumor that Belichick's going to retire, or Brady said, hey, why don't you stick around in case Belichick decides to retire after that meeting? Because you know Kraft's going to take Brady's side, and Brady can play for as long as he wants. And if Belichick just goes, ah, fuck it, I'm out, I'm retiring, then McDaniels could take over. So part of me is shitting my pants, but the other part of me is like, okay, we have Belichick. He's the defensive guru. It doesn't matter who he's going to put in as defensive coordinator. We're going to have continuity on offense. This makes it okay. Whereas if we had 4 years, most of Brady left, and I think maybe 1 to 2 in realistic terms, we have 1 to 2 years of Brady left, and then we lose both coordinators. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
So let me ease your worries a tiny bit here. Mike Reese is reporting that a source close to the situation, so judge it how you will, says that it was clarity about Bill Belichick's status in New England and stability for his family that were the top factors for Josh McDaniels' sudden change. And then in parentheses, he writes, Belichick is locked in to coach Patriots in 2018.
Yeah, so it's what I said. He knows when Belichick is retiring now, and he's going to take over for Belichick. That's 100% what's going on.
Yes. Adam Schefter is also reporting that in the past 48 hours, Patriots owner Robert Kraft began talking with McDaniels and ultimately wound up sweetening his contract, helping to entice him to remain in New England. So stability there. And then a follow-up story quickly is that the Patriots special teams coach, Joe Judge, who was going to go with McDaniels to Indy, is also staying in New England now. So
the Colts, you know, we were like cool with the Colts. Like we, all that stuff was in the past. Now they fucking hate us again.
Way to D over the Colts. That's for sure. It's really funny. But so lots of stability other than defensive coordinator. And maybe it was time for a change there anyway. I don't know. But all very interesting. And then you alluded to the fact that Brady was going to have this conversation with Gronk. That's because Gronk said after the game that he wasn't clear about his status in the future. He might retire. He might not. So the guy did get a concussion this year. So
right. That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. Gronk and his dad, mainly his dad, have always been very good about managing his money and his career, making sure he's not disabled and that he's playing football because he enjoys it, not because he's putting himself at risk or he needs to play it to make money. He is totally just playing now because it's what he enjoys. As we know, he hasn't ever touched his salary. All the money he's spending, he doesn't even really live a lavish lifestyle, but any money he spends is from endorsements and any, you know, he has a show that he did, the Crash Leach show that I saw a taping of live.
Yeah.
That's where all his money comes from. He does not need to play football. He is only playing because he enjoys it. And he got his bell rung pretty bad. So you had to start worrying about brain damage and CTE. And I believe that's a conversation he's having. In fact, I think he actually may have retired if they won the Super Bowl. He would have had three rings. He would have gone out on top. But now that they haven't retired, they haven't won, I think that's what puts his retirement up in the air.
Yeah, agreed. one more Adam Schefter tweet here, because they're just priceless at this point. He says, text from one league source, quote, this is regarding the Josh McDaniels pulling out thing. That's Kraft putting it to the Colts again. He will forever try and expletive that place ever since Deflategate.
That's definitely true, but I definitely think it's Kraft proving to the team that he wants continuity as well, because they tried to hit Kraft by saying he didn't care about the future with the Garoppolo thing. So I think this is him, like, fighting back against that a little bit too.
Yeah, I know.
Although also, when we're talking about Gronk coming back, I have to wonder if Martellus Bennett is going to come back as well, because if I'm Martellus Bennett and I want to keep playing, I would want to come back and play with Brady again, especially with how it fizzled out in Green Bay. And he tried to play this season too. And I can't imagine he had to have been injured. So I can't imagine he didn't play those couple games and catch those couple balls to prove he was serious about being in New England. So there wasn't any violations and fines or anything, so he could come back next season. Otherwise, I think he would have just said, I'm hurt, I'm just going to retire.
Yeah.
So I have to imagine he's going to come back as well.
With all these people returning and all these people being on the team forever, they're going to have to change their name to the Old England Patriots, right?
No, they got some young guys. I mean, James White is young.
Well, they're all relatively young.
Yeah.
Come on, don't shit him. Yes, and. Yes, and.
Nah, I'm not going to yes and that one.
You should check out, listeners and Justin, the memes that are going around about the McDaniels thing. As always, the internet responds nearly instantaneously to all news. So
I don't want any part of any of this. Like, I'm just so over all of it.
But I do like the picture of the Colts hanging a banner in their stadium that says almost hired McDaniels. It's my favorite.
Okay, if they're ripping on the Colts, that's okay, because they're ripping on their participant banner.
Yes. Yes, I love that. I love that. I love it. Yes, and of course there's the obligatory Oscar jokes and the obligatory Steve Harvey jokes, but that banner.
Oh, yeah, Steve Harvey announcing the head coach of the Colts.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
But
and like Josh McDaniels is La La Land.
Yes, indeed. So, all amusing. I love it. So, do you have any summary thoughts about this season overall and about football overall this year? What do you think? I mean, I think, you know, I said earlier in the season that this wasn't the best season of football I'd ever watched. The play seemed to be down overall. Do you still feel that way at the end of the season?
I feel 100% that way. I think the officiating was down because of the catch rule. We saw that rear its ugly head. For the record, I think one of those was a touchdown and one of those wasn't. One, the guy clearly established he was a runner and got in the end zone. The other one, he was bobbling the ball as he stepped out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Now, in reality, that was a catch. Based on the catch rule, it was not a catch. Am I complaining and saying that's why we lost the game? No, our defense didn't show up, which is the second thing. A lot of people have been saying that was a very entertaining Super Bowl. I don't agree with that at all. As a football fan, that was very difficult for me to watch because neither team was playing defense. I'm sitting there and I'm going, this is supposed to be the best two teams and neither wants to play defense. Now, granted, Brady and Foles both played well and Brady was playing out of his fucking mind and he's got Gronk, so it's hard to defend them. But the Jaguars played better defense than the Eagles did. Straight up, that is a fact. That is inarguable. The Jaguars played the Patriots better than the Eagles did.
Yeah.
And likewise, the Patriots defense didn't play. Maybe that's entertaining if you enjoy lots of scoring, but that is not good football to me. That is not enjoyable to watch. It just became, all right, can we hold them to a field goal? That's what it was. I'm sitting there with my girlfriend and my friend, and I go, okay, if we just hold them to a field goal here, we're fine. No, I'd like to get a 3-and-out at some point. I'd like to see both teams get a 3-and-out. One punt in the Super Bowl? No. So, yeah, I agree it was a down year as far as play, but that's what the league wants because it wants parity. I mean, a backup quarterback just won the Super Bowl. That's what the league wants.
Yeah, totally.
Likewise, the final thing is I'm sick of the fans. I really am. That's going to sound like a dick because I'm a fan and, like, I'm not a professional media guy or anything, but I'm sick of the fans. Like, I told you, and you can tell me if this narrative has reared its ugly head, but I told you at halftime or maybe after the game, I said, people are going to say the reason the Patriots didn't win the Super Bowl is the refs weren't on their side this time with those two touchdown calls. And I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of you too, Patriots fans, trying to rationalize by blaming Belichick. The Eagles played a better game. Fact. That's why they won the Super Bowl. Even if it was, the only difference was that one fucking sack, strip sack, they still made the play when they had to. They played a better game. Stop trying to rationalize why your team lost. Stop being an emotionalist, an asshole, and not accepting the fact that your team lost. The Patriots lost. That's it. That's all that happened. Yeah, there were some plays they could have made. They could have won the game. They were more than capable of winning that game. I still believe they were the better team. They still lost the game. I don't care what the refs did. I don't care about all the mistakes they made. That's why they lost the game. The Eagles made fewer mistakes. That's the end of it. And I'm so sick of, and it goes to this country in general, I'm so sick of all of this bullshit of you win or lose. It's just negativity. It's just negativity. It's never the celebration of the athletic achievement. There's always reasons people won and reasons people lost that extend beyond the field. Nothing in life anymore is what happens. There's always bullshit reasons outside of it. And that's why I haven't read anything. Because I don't want to see these memes. I don't want to hear what people have to say. Because they're all saying the same shit. It doesn't matter what happens on the field. It matters what we say about it afterwards. Fuck you. You're not that important. They are entertaining and performing for you. Appreciate it. Appreciate what they're doing for you. Appreciate it for what it is. Don't do this bullshit. I bought a ticket, so they're obligated to listen to me and obligated to do what I say, and what I say matters. No, you bought a ticket because what they're doing is enjoyable. You didn't buy a ticket to control them and control the narrative and run your fucking mouth because you're a child. I'm just sick of it. That's my summary of the season. And congrats to the Eagles. I want to be clear about that. Like I said, I want to reiterate, the Eagles played a good game. They deserve to win the game. Nick Foles played a good game. He deserves the millions of dollars he's going to get. And I feel bad for him that he's going to get traded. That fucking sucks. There's nothing more you can do as a quarterback and you get traded. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The end.
The end. I feel like that's a good summary, except that I have to be an idiot and interject, which is that there is one positive thing we did not mention for next season, which is that Julian Edelman returns.
I already said that. I said Edelman and Hightower come back.
I didn't hear the Edelman part. I heard the Hightower part. But
I'm not going to say Edelman. Dude, in the hierarchy of Patriots, it goes Brady, Edelman, me. We're like all like trying to be each other. I'm trying to be Edelman. Edelman's trying to be Brady.
Yeah. So that will be awesome. It'll be great to watch. Overall, this was an entertaining season. I'm thankful to the whole organization and to the players and everyone. I'm basically thankful to everyone but Goodell for what they provide in entertainment value. And
another positive thing, Goodell did say they were going to look at the catch rule. So if we could clean that up, I think that'll help.
That will absolutely help. And mostly I'm thankful to the fans who came along on this experimental ride with us here at Belichick Your Premises. Sort of an idea that Justin and I had for a while and just didn't have the time to execute. And we said, well, screw it. We're never going to have the time. Let's just do it. So you can tell us what you enjoyed, what you didn't enjoy, what you want to see in the future. But thanks for listening. Thanks for Belichicking Your Premises. Puns.
And where can they tell you that so you won't respond to them?
At Daniel T. Richards on Twitter, where I will never see it. Or you can find me on the Facebook, facebook.com/DanielT. Or on Instagram at Daniel T. Richards. But again, I'm never going to respond unless you personally... If you personally write me a letter, I might respond quicker than on Twitter. So.
And I'm going to give a note. I would actually like to talk less about the Patriots next season.
Whoa.
And what I mean by that is we were fortunate this season that they went all the way to the Super Bowl. But I think it would be really interesting to talk about a Super Bowl. Now, I want the Patriots to win the Super Bowl next year. I want to be clear. But I think it would be really interesting to have people hear us talk about a game that the Patriots weren't playing in. to show how we would apply our perspective in this kind of objective analysis to non-Patriots talk. Because even this, I went out of the way to, you know, applaud the Eagles a couple times, because even this turned into a very Patriots-heavy show. So I think about like 5 years from now, when the Patriots aren't doing as well, I think it'll be interesting to see how this show comes across when we're talking about just football in general and who's successful.
To be fair, it is Belichick, your premises, so.
I know, but I would like to apply that not just to football, but the Belichick approach to life. So, like I said, I would look forward to that. I say that, though, of course, we're probably just going to blow Deshaun Watson and Jimmy Garoppolo once Brady retires, so.
That's right. Screw the Patriots. We're on to the Texans and the 49ers.
All right. So you can obviously reach me as well on the social medias, Instagram, Snapchat. I don't know why I said Instagram first. That's how much my girlfriend has infected my mind. I said Instagram first. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, The Midside. You can find me on there. Those are the main show accounts. I curate those. If you want to listen to the main show and you're on iTunes, it's just in that same feed, look in there, or you can find it on themidside.com/podcast. Thanks for checking in with us this season. For now, we're on to the NFL draft.
My face, your face, instant face, go talk to whoever you want that does that stuff.